Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
It's the Growler with BD and J. Here to analyze for you today. From Growler Bed to Jay's Got Sad. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Growler Podcast.
All right, welcome into the latest edition of The Walkout. It's Paul Dehner Jr., The Athletic, Jay Morrison, Pro Football Network. And just want to say much thanks to, of course, to BetMGM Sportsbook, which is the presenting sponsor of all of our draft coverage here. We are here with you deep into Saturday morning.
It is.
It's officially Saturday morning here. We are inside the Bengals press conference room on what has been a busy day, as it always is, a busy Friday for the Bengals, and one that is going to be immensely important when we talk about the future, and one that was a bit surprising. It started with Amarius Mims coming here and meeting us today. His head was between the lights that are above us right now, like just kind of hanging out in the middle. He was, yes, every bit the giant human you would have thought he was going to be. Orlando Brown came down to kind of welcome him, and we had some conversations with him. We talked a lot about Amarius Mims last night. We're going to put him a little bit to the side. Then three selections were made. Number 49 overall, it was Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle out of Michigan. And then in the third round, number 80, it was Jermaine Burton, wide receiver out of Alabama. And then at number 97, their comp pick that they got for Jesse Bates that the league amended to them as a nice little gift, ended up being McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M, another defensive tackle, this more in the big-bodied Josh Tupou, DJ Reader, true nose guard type, where Jenkins is more of a, you know, kind of rotational move around type guy. That's the layout of the day. Takeaways from the layout of the day, Jay, are, I'll start. You tell me what yours is. I have a few that I'll hold back. We haven't quite talked this out yet, so I'm curious.
No,
what
we
you
haven't.
Think.
So I'm surprised by a couple things. I'm not surprised they took Jermaine Burton. I had mentioned him in an article leading up to the draft. I was on a show Thursday afternoon. They asked who could be a sleeper pick, and I picked both him and Brendan Rice. I thought they would get a more, you would say sure bet, but a different receiver early, second round, and then go take a chance on a guy like Burton in the fourth round is kind of the double dip. They went the other direction. They took him early. They double dipped at defensive tackle. Little surprised on McKinley Jackson this early, but I will say that the Pro Football Network mock draft simulator, they created a new thing now where you can get multi-users in there and you can get up to 10 people doing it. The first time we did it, we ran it with a bunch of staffers, and I got to this point where I was stuck and I was like, look, I can't get Tavondre Sweat. And so I leaned on Ian Cummings and I said, who's the next best defensive tackle out there that would be a really good run stopper? Hesitate. And he said, McKinley Jackson. Mm-hmm. And that was fourth round. The Bengals take him in the third round. Dane had a sixth or seventh round grade on him. Lance Zierlein from NFL Network had a sixth round grade. Ian had a third round grade on him. He had him as 112 on his big board. Mm-hmm. So I guess it depends on who you listen to, whether that was a reach or not. It seems like a reach, but then again, they needed it. Let DJ Reader go. There's, other than Sweat, there wasn't a real true run stopper. And you get Chris Jenkins first, you get Burton in place, you got Mims in the first round. It felt like they had I would say some room to play with there to go get a guy like that and maybe make a little bit of a reach.
Yeah, I think they had to pay the toll for free agency getting messed up, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted to have this taken care of in free agency in some capacity and not have to do a double up or feel like they walked in here staring at a room that had Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill and really nobody else. I mean, Zach Carter, J2 Fele, I mean, these aren't – they were looking for more there because it just didn't work out for them the way they wanted to in free agency, and they couldn't afford to come out of here and not feel like they had – more of a big-bodied run stuffer to go with Chris Jenkins, who's a not as big-bodied kind of versatile piece, but run stuffer too.
Yeah.
But they felt like they needed that big body and couldn't take a chance of not getting him because they tried to get cute or wait because they had no other option. And if they felt he was really the last of the, you know, the last of the ones that they could go to here in a notably empty draft for that, then I think the reach is the price that you pay on that. Here, I love the Jenkins pick. Love.
Yeah.
Capital letters. Yeah. If you listened here last night, you heard I had him as my bet, right? I mean, he was my bet to do this. And so I love the Jenkins pick. I think he's fantastic. The fact that they waited, everybody was getting very nervous. Bengals fans are wondering what should they go up and get him? The run on defensive tackles happened. Yeah. A run on receivers happened. A run on corners happened. It was all the targeted positions for the Bengals saw runs happen in front of them, and it felt like they should have gone up and been a part of that. But the impression you very clearly got from Zach Taylor, from Lou Anarumo, and I kind of kept picking at it here tonight when they were sitting right here where we are, was that, you know what? They just kept staring at that one name on the board, and it was a sweat. It was a sweat because they loved Jenkins too. They felt like he was a great fit. They had brought him in. By the way, 4 for 4 on 30 visits amongst the four guys that they selected. So remember,
it's rare.
Yeah. Remember, keep tracking those, by the way. They're important. But he came in and they thought he was the perfect fit. Lou Anarumo loves versatile defensive linemen. Yes. Chris Jenkins is a A++ background character, captain, leader, all the things that we have been led to believe the Bengals are always valuing there. And so to give a versatile piece with that, he was a top 5 on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. So you have the athleticism that you would want. He was arguably, there were multiple people, you heard this line being circulated today, maybe the best defensive player on the best defense in college football that won a national championship.
Right.
All of those pieces make sense to why you can see it here. NFL bloodlines, it just checks so many boxes. And Dane Brugler had him 36 overall. The Bengals get him at 49 at a true position of need where you didn't really feel like there was anybody at his level, not even just at his position. I think across other positions at that point, at that same level of what hit the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And Lou Anarumo said, I felt like I was just squinting at that name for an hour, just waiting to get to the pick. And they eventually did get him, and kind of said it was reminiscent a bit of the now famous Logan Wilson sweat of 2020 that they felt like they were waiting the whole round hoping he would make it to him, and he did. We'll see if it pans out as well as Logan did.
You know, the thing is, I was surprised. Lou was talking about Chris and how good of a run stopper he is, and I think that got overlooked in the process because he's not a DJ Reader type of body. He's under 300 pounds, so he's got some room to put some weight on that frame. But that was that you're seeing all these other defensive tackles go off and they're more of the three techs. And that's why the Bengals were zeroed in and they didn't panic because, who knows if Chris goes a pick or two before they pick what direction they go at that point. But they have capital to move up if they really, really were scared. I don't know if they just had faith that he wasn't going to go before they picked or if they had plan B, plan C, whatever it was. But they stuck to it just like they typically do. And it'll be interesting to see how he fits with McKinley Jackson. And, you know, they talked about Chris Jenkins being a three down guy, and then they were very open about McKinley. He's a two down guy. He's a run stopper. He's going to be in there. He's going to mix in. You get kind of the best of both worlds there. I don't know. If I was betting what position they would double down on in this draft, I think I would have gone defensive tackle, because you could either go the three tech and then the run stopper. They get two guys that specialize in stopping a run, but they're still different body types.
Yeah. I almost don't look at it as a double up.
Yeah.
I really view it as two different positions. They just filled, you know, they needed a really another BJ Hill, you know, a BJ Hill, Sheldon Rankins. He's kind of another one of those. He's the BJ Hill heir apparent who's going to give you something this year. And you're getting Josh Tupou with McKinley Jackson, that big body you see come in. They play those, you know, they play five down base.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to have more of those bigger guys in there. And I think they have a good collection now. They feel like they do. When you do now, you sprinkle in Zach Carter and whatever, if he can find a way to make this team in the mix, and you start tinkering of what you can do there. But they filled it. They filled it with players that they think can contribute. They're going to be asking a lot of these rookies. I mean, asking somebody like McKinley Jackson, who people had six ground grades on potentially or whatever, to come in and be somebody who's going to play a real role for you is something. It is asking a little bit of a lot. We'll see if he's up to it. We'll see if it works out for him or not. Before we move on, I do want to remind you our draft coverage is sponsored by our great friends at BetMGM Sportsbook. Of course, the new BetMGM Sportsbook down there connected to Nation Kitchen at the Banks, which is going to be the home of our live show, which is going to be on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, breaking down all of the picks. Come on down, have some drinks. We did have winners. We did have winners in the Amarius Mims. So we're going to have a couple of people coming down that are going to, we're going to do the raffle with them, and somebody's going to be picking and saying, putting a bet down on whether they think the Bengals are going to win maybe the Super Bowl, maybe the AFC, whatever they want to do, $50, because we do have a couple of winners from the first round bet. But the place is awesome, of course. It's a one-of-a-kind experience with these standout features. You ready for this? 350 square foot video wall, 3 in-person wagering windows, 14 self-service wagering kiosks, a fully covered outdoor patio with seating and TVs, and an exclusive VIP lounge. It has absolutely everything right downtown across from GABP, the corner of 2nd and Joe Nuxall Way. Pete Rose sliding on right in across the street. So come on down Tuesday, 7 o'clock. It is going to be an absolute blast. So we hope to see you there. One of the things we will be talking about there, Jay.
Yes.
Is really, to me, the story of the night. For everything Chris Jenkins was, it felt like, okay, here come the Bengals, right? Amarius Mims in round one had some interesting stuff. You heard what Nick Saban had to say. We talked about that last night. You worry about, okay, is he going to have the motivation and all this? That's some of that stuff that was sprinkled in there, which is part of why his small sample size and the motivational stuff that's kind of lingering out there, why he wasn't a much higher pick. So to a small degree, you saw a little bit a gamble. But like we said last night, I think a gamble that a lot of teams will be more than happy to take on Amarius Mims. Not a lot of teams would necessarily be willing to take the same gamble the Bengals did tonight on Jermaine Burton. And taking him at 80 overall, the deal is this. Jermaine Burton is a great player. If you turn on the tape, if you are tape scouting and you turn on the tape, there he is. I don't know. PFF had him as wide receiver 4 for them. He's in. What did we talk about? They needed forever inside, outside versatility, explosiveness, right? They need more explosiveness. You have a guy who led Alabama in receiving the last 2 years, who led the SEC in yards per reception. He had all these downfield throws. He's getting open at every level. He's doing things that are absolutely projectable traits. I mean, as a young player making plays in the national championship game, like at Georgia before he transferred, on the field, everything you see It all checks out. This is a real, real dude. Then why is he there at 80, Jay? That's because you have a background of red flags. You have, I guess it was 6 schools in 8 years is what Dane has in there, which he has. So you're talking four different high schools, Georgia and Alabama, 2 years at each, littered with frustrated coaches with him at most turns, it sounds like. And that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. The major incident was one that happened on a field storming after Alabama lost to Tennessee, and he struck a female Tennessee fan in the head. That obviously was dealt with there at Alabama. He continued to play. But that was a part of it too. He had an unsportsmanlike penalty, emotional maturity. Lots of maturity issues are kind of mentioned over and over again here. Yet the Bengals were willing to go there and take that chance. It's not that this doesn't happen. And it's not that I didn't think that obviously some team was going to take a chance on him. I mean, the talent is so good. This is just a really out of character move for the Bengals. This is not something that we've seen them do hardly any of really since Zach Taylor has gotten. They have leaned so hard the other way. They have been, give us all your Chris Jenkinses, right? And so to see them at a prominent spot go that direction with Jermaine Burton was surprising, I thought.
It's out of character, but I wouldn't say out of the blue. I mean, last year we started talking about this. I asked Zach about it at the combine. Now that you have the culture in place, would you feel a little more comfortable taking a chance on a guy like this, where bring him in and hope that the culture helps set him right? So I just think the talent was so great. You can't excuse what he did, but people make mistakes all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be repeat offenders. They vetted him, I'm sure. They asked every single person they could that knew him what to expect, what they thought of him. My biggest issue here is the reaction to what we're writing and saying about it. There's a lot of people that don't even think this should be addressed. And I just think that's ridiculous. We're asking the same questions of Zach and Pitch and the guys that were sitting up here that they ask of Jermaine Burton. And we asked Kelsey Conway directly asked Jermaine Burton about this on the conference call. And he didn't get offended. And how dare you ask about it? How dare you? He answered it like a mature adult does when you discuss these kind of things. Again, doesn't excuse what he did, but it's part of his story. It's part of this story of them drafting him. Again, you wonder if it is this kind of a slide the other way where they see the window and maybe they start taking some chances on some guys like this and it becomes repetitive? Or is it the case where you feel really good about the coaches and the culture and the professionalism, everything you have, especially in that wide receiver room, that you feel good that you can bring a guy like that in and he's going to toe the line and he's going to learn how to be a professional by being around professionals?
No doubt. And I don't really have time for people to think we shouldn't be talking about this. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
He would be a first round pick if it weren't for this stuff. And he was off teams' boards. Okay. Because they don't want to bring that into their room. And this is the place that has preached culture and all of that stuff since day one. So that can't not be part of the story. Okay. That is Jermaine Burton's story right now, or else the Jermaine Burton story would be, hey, look at this guy that's going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
And so the fact that this is what it is, it is a part of it. And his answers about that and how they vetted it and their comfort with that. Whether you're talking about being tough to coach or all the, you know, where you're talking about transfers, like there's so much transferring. It's hard to know. And it's hard to truly know. The bottom line is that the Bengals did go and do everything they could possibly do. They talked to him at the combine. They brought him in on a 30 visit. TJ Houshmandzadeh, unbelievably, is announcing the pick in Detroit and says, hey, I trained this guy. He didn't just train him. They really developed a pretty close relationship with each other. And they could lean a little bit into friend of the franchise, TJ Houshmandzadeh. What do you know about this guy? Is he a bad guy? Are we talking about big trouble, or are we talking about little trouble here, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Who is he? And is there a reason to believe that this was youth? This was a kid growing up? And he's on the right track now. They do have Troy Walters, who's one of the best receivers coaches in the league. They do have a room where you have stars, okay? You have Jamar Chase. You have T. Higgins. You have even their young guys, some really well-grounded young players. I mean, Trenton Irwin, guys have earned it in this league. Andre Yoshivash, Charlie Jones. I mean, these are guys who were really well-grounded guys when they came in. So you have a solid thing in place. So can you put this player, drop him into that, and can he then flourish because of those surroundings that are there? That's the risk they're taking, and that's the bet that they're making, and they just hope that it isn't a backslide, that you're not poisoning the well, so to speak.
Right.
But again, that's why you vet it, and that's why you get yourself comfortable with it. I'll tell you this, if you were one of they were comfortable with it, go watch the video of Zach Taylor and really all the coaches' reaction to it, as openly happy as you probably have seen them if you go back through all the videos that they've done in recent years, because they do know what type of special player they're getting. If all those things we said, what they feel like they have created there has allowed them to get extreme value in a crazy steal at that point in the draft. We'll all learn together. We'll all see, but you know, it's a chance that is one that we just haven't seen them take a lot. And so it's going to be really curious to see, you know, how all that specifically works out.
It was interesting too, because, you know, you talked about the run early in the second round with the receivers and the corners and the defensive tackles. And you wondered, you know, how much of a run there would be on receivers between 49 and 80. And there was none. There were two receivers that went in that span. And you're right, the reaction that they had, it wasn't, oh, this guy fell to us, because I think they picked him a lot higher than you said it. Some teams had him off the board completely, and I think other teams were probably looking fourth round. So it wasn't like, oh, we're lucky. It was just about pure excitement about what he can bring and the fact that he was in the fold with this team. And you know, we'll see where it goes moving forward. He played at IMG Academy in college, one of the best programs in the country. Georgia, Alabama. He's always been the big fish at the big school. And now he's got to come in and be humbled a little bit and play behind these pros, Jamar and T. And there's this legacy that's carried on from AJ Green to Tyler Boyd, now to these guys, that divas don't exist in this locker room, in this culture. And he's going to have to follow that, or, you know, maybe he doesn't pan out here and he doesn't finish his rookie deal. But if he does, look out, because if the light goes on and he becomes a pro, as we've said, the talent is there. He never went over 800 yards in college, and that was frustrating. It never felt like he really reached his full potential, but he averaged 18 yards per catch over 4 years. He averaged 20.5 yards per catch last year with Alabama. He is explosive. He takes the top off defenses, strong hands, you know, going up, fighting for the ball. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this guy play, and you just hope that he does fall in line with the example set by Jamar and T.
Here's a bigger one. I'll give you a better one than that, though. How about the leadership of Joe Burrow? I mean, at a certain point, you know, this is your team. Yeah. You are the guy. When Jermaine Burton walks in here, he may have idolized some of Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, but Joe Burrow is the one that makes him go, oh, there's Joe Burrow. Yeah. There's the leader. And this guy who is supposed to have this real innate nature of relating with teammates and connecting and leading and knowing what people need to hear and who needs the kick in the butt and who needs the, like, that's part of kind of the legend of what has made Joe Burrow so good here and at a lot of places. they need that from him right now. They need that big time. And that's also a big part of why they probably feel comfortable dropping Burton down into the middle of that. Because guess what? There's Joe Burrow. If you start screwing up, you want to disappoint that guy? Like, he's over there stewing in the corner about one bad throw in practice. You know, so you tell me what you want to do now that you're in this professional locker room. So we'll see how that plays out. But I do think a lot of that goes in a lot of the leadership conversation that we've had this offseason goes back to Joe Burrow needs to emerge more that way. And he always is that, but more in the vocal way, more in the this is my team and I'm not afraid to say it way, because that is something that they have lost this offseason, and they're now going to need it, as you maybe have, whether we're talking about Mims, whether we're talking about Burton. Again, different background concerns there, but still stuff that you're going to want to be monitoring from a team perspective. And that's something that Joe Burrow is going to be partially responsible for being on top of as well. And that's why you pay him the big bucks. Well, I certainly look forward to discussing the vetting and the background and all of these details with our good friend, Bengals Director of College Scouting, Mike Potts, who's going to come join us at our live show, Nation Kitchen and Bar. That's on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be down there in Nation. Come have some drinks with us. They've got delicious burgers, corn dogs, tots. Dude, the tots are just the tachos. They've got it all. It's awesome. So you can come down, eat, drink, 7 o'clock, Tuesday, April 30th. Mike Potts, Nation Bar and Kitchen, down there on the banks. So come on down and join us. It's going to be an absolute blast to have you there. And we'll have some other players to talk to him about too, Jay. That's going to be whatever happens here.
Later today,
in a few hours. Oh, my goodness. We'll have that. I mean, interior offensive line has not been addressed. Cornerback has not been addressed. I think now once we got into this part of the draft, we assumed we'd probably see some dabbling in the running back. They're going to special teams linebacker, you know, punter, right? Like, they got six picks, fourth, fifth, two sixes, two sevens. Chance for movement to kind of target what they want. They're not going to have room to roster all six. So are they going to condense and try to move? This is a draft that notably has kind of falls off once you reach into round five a little bit, because of NIL, because of players staying and all that stuff. So potentially this could be something where, you know, they're going to want to be more aggressive moving up once, twice, three times a lady, and see what they need to do to pinpoint the things they feel like they haven't quite accomplished yet.
And I'm not sure the one that you mentioned that was, we thought could have been in play in the first round or the second round. And now you get to the fourth round and maybe they say it's not worth it now. And that's cornerback, because you just don't see a lot of hits. It had been a little bit of a luxury to take one and kind of have that succession plan for Mike Hilton, or whether it's another outside guy to compete. And now that you get to this round, maybe they double up on the interior, or like you said, a running back, I think, is definitely a play. Maybe another receiver's in play. I really am curious to see if corner is a direction they'll go. If they say we didn't get one on day one or day two, we'll wait on that. And there are still veterans out there in free agency if they really feel like they need to bring in another body. But I still wonder about linebacker too. It's not a pressing need, but with the change in the kickoff rule and the fact that they brought back ADG and they brought back Bocce, but you still need another guy or two at linebacker. So I think that could be a target. And it feels like a seventh round pick on an edge, just a flyer on an edge guy, might be in play too.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do anything just because they have so many picks, and you know, you're just seeing what you find here. But certainly thinking about special teams is going to very much enter the equation here now. I think you hit the nail on the head. The corner was always to me the wild card of this draft. Of it could be first, it could be not at all. I just felt like, because look, there are still veterans out there. Xavien Howard's of the world. The list is actually pretty long of some of the veteran corners that are out there that could come in and be in the back of your room as this year's Sidney Jones or whoever. You have Dax Hill. You have Jalen Davis. You have, you still have a lot of different players that, that can fit into different places for you. You have DJ Turner. You have DJ Ivy. So they're not empty there. But they, so it was like, if you could add one, yeah, it sounds great. So maybe they go the veteran route and decide to focus other places at this point because they got this far. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. And looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a long, busy day, but it's going to round out the class. I think we've proven your mother wrong tonight. Sometimes good things do happen after 1 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, look at you go. Yeah, look at you go. Look at you go. That's right. Absolutely. Something good has happened. We have brought you all kinds of goodness here from the Bengals media room, which we'll be back to very, very soon. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the walkout. Of course, again, one last reminder, come on down to BetMGM Sportsbook, Nation Kitchen at the Banks on Tuesday, 7 o'clock. You're going to love it. We were going to be down there talking about all of these picks, all of the background. And it's going to be a great time. And then we'll hang out. You know, we'll be hanging out and have some drinks afterwards, won't we?
Oh, yeah, we will. Yeah,
we deserve them, we feel like, at this point. Best beer of the year coming up very, very soon, too. We're like how many hours out from that? I don't know. 15 hours. 15 hours out from best drink of the year, top shelf bourbon, one big cube. Let's freaking go. Bring on Saturday, baby. Let's go. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next time. Have a good one.
Tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.